post-presidency. Following his 1800 defeat, Adams retired into private life. Depressed when he left office, he did not attend Jefferson's inauguration. He went back to farming in the Quincy area. In 1812, Adams reconciled with Jefferson. Their mutual friend Benjamin Rush, who had been corresponding with both, encouraged Adams to reach out to Jefferson. Adams sent a brief note to Jefferson, which resulted in a resumption of their friendship and initiated a correspondence that lasted the rest of their lives. Their letters are rich in insight into both the period and the minds of the two presidents and revolutionary leaders. Their correspondence lasted 14 years and consisted of 158 letters. It was in these years that the two men discussed natural aristocracy. Jefferson said, "The natural aristocracy I consider as the most precious gift of nature for the instruction, the trusts, and government of society. And indeed it would have been inconsistent in creation to have formed man for the social state, and not to have provided virtue and wisdom enough to manage the concerns of society. May we not even say that the form of government is best which provides most effectually for a pure selection of these natural aristoi into the offices of government?" Adams wondered if it would be so clear who these people were. "Your distinction between natural and artificial aristocracy does not appear to me well-founded. Birth and wealth are conferred on some men as imperiously by nature as genius, strength, or beauty. When aristocracies are established by human laws and honor, wealth and power are made hereditary by municipal laws and political institutions. Then I acknowledge artificial aristocracy to commence." It would always be true, Adams argued, that fate would bestow influence on some men for reasons other than true wisdom and virtue. That being the way of nature, he thought such talents were natural. A good government, therefore, had to account for that reality. 16 months before his death, his son John Quincy Adams became the 6th President of the United States, 1825 to 1829, the only son of a former president to hold office until George W. Bush in 2001. His daughter, Abigail, Nabby, was married to Congressman William Stephen Smith. She died of cancer in 1813. His son Charles died as an alcoholic in 1800. Abigail, his wife, died of typhoid on October 28, 1818. His son Thomas and his family lived with Adams and Louisa Smith, Abigail's niece by her brother William, to the end of Adams's life. Death. On July 4, 1826, the 50th anniversary of the adoption of the Declaration of Independence, Adams died at his home in Quincy. His last words are often quoted as, "Thomas Jefferson survives." Only the words "Thomas Jefferson" were clearly intelligible, however. Adams was unaware that Jefferson, his counterpart in their quest for independence, then great political rival, then, later, friend and correspondent, had died a few hours earlier on the very same day. Adams' crypt lies at United First Parish Church, also known as the Church of the Presidents, in Quincy. Until his record was broken by Ronald Reagan in 2001, he was the nation's longest-living president, 90 years, 247 days, maintaining that record for 175 years. The record is currently held by former President Gerald Ford, who served less than one term and who died December 26, 2006, at 93 years, 165 days. John Adams remains the longest-lived person ever elected to both the highest offices in the United States. Religious views. Adams was raised a Congregationalist, becoming a Unitarian at a time when most Congregational churches around Boston were turning to Unitarianism. Everett, 1966, argues that Adams was not a deist, but he used deistic terms in his speeches and writing. He believed in the essential goodness of the creation, but he did not believe in the divinity of Christ or that God intervened in affairs of individuals. Although not anti-clerical, he advocated the separation of church and state. He also believed that regular church service was beneficial to a man's moral sense. Abbott concludes that Adams strove for a religion based on a common sense sort of reasonableness, and maintained that religion must change and evolve toward perfection. Adams often railed against what he saw as overclaiming of authority by the Catholic Church. In 1796, Adams denounced the deism of political opponent Thomas Paine, saying, "The Christian religion is, above all the religions that ever prevailed or existed in ancient or modern times, the religion of wisdom, virtue, equity, and humanity, let the blackguard Paine say what he will." The Unitarian Universalist Historical Society shed some light on Adams's religious beliefs. They point out that Adams was clearly no atheist by quoting from his letter to Benjamin Rush, an early promoter of universalist thought. "I've attended public worship in all countries and with all sects and believe them all much better than no religion, though I have not thought myself obliged to believe all I heard." The Society also relates how Rush reconciled Adams to his former friend Thomas Jefferson in 1812, after many bitter political battles. This resulted in correspondence between Adams and Jefferson about many topics, including philosophy and religion. In one of these communications, Adams told Jefferson, "The Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount contain my religion." In another letter, Adams reveals his sincere devotion to God. "My adoration of the author of the universe is too profound and too sincere. The love of God and His creation, delight, joy, triumph, exultation in my own existence, thou but an atom, a molecule organic in the universe, are my religion." He continues by revealing his universalist sympathies, rejection of orthodox Christian dogma, and his personal belief that he was a true Christian for not accepting such dogma. "Howl, snarl, bite, ye Calvinistic, ye Athanasian divines, if you will. Ye will say, I am no Christian. I say, ye are no Christians. And there the account is balanced. Yet I believe all the honest men among you are Christians, in my sense of the word." The Society also demonstrates that Adams rejected orthodox Christian doctrines of the Trinity, predestination, yet equated human understanding and the human conscience to celestial communication, or personal revelation from God. It's also shown that Adams held a strong conviction in life after death or otherwise, as he explained, "You might be ashamed of your Maker."